listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
In all of my years as a marriage therapist and as a relationship coach, I have never, ever had a couple say, you know what, we set out to disconnect. We intended on making our relationship disconnected and distant from each other. That's never been the thing that they've told me. Over and over, I've heard the story about how we used to be so close. We started out with so much love. What happened to our relationship? Well, it's a pretty simple piece that I often see that happens to relationships, and this is one of those immutable laws of marriage. There is no pause for a marriage. So many times people think that they have put off the relationship for a little bit to get through some other things, to make sure that they attend to things, and they can name off lots of things that they were attending to while their relationship was on pause, only to find that their relationship disappeared in the midst of that. The truth is, the immutable law of marriage is that marriages are either growing, the connection between a couple is either growing, or the marriage and the connection is receding. There is no pause. There is no, we'll pick it up later. A marriage is either growing, the relationship is either growing, or it is receding. Marriage is about connection and commitment. If you put it in those two pieces, it's very easy to understand the formula of a successful marriage. Work on the connection, honor the commitment, build the connection, honor the commitment, work on the connection, honor the commitment, and it will grow on its own. But if you neglect either the connection or the commitment, you find yourself in trouble. The commitment is what carries you through. I love the definition of commitment that says that a commitment is agreeing to do the things that you promise after you no longer feel like you did when you made that commitment, when you made that promise. In other words, a commitment is what guides you through the relationship, even though the feeling of love may come and go. The commitment is there, and then you work to build the connection so that the feeling grows rather than recedes. The problem is really often about priorities. Most people, when they get married, don't sit down to reestablish those priorities, and they often go unspoken. We just kind of assume that we know what's important to us. We assume some of the biggest priorities in our lives, and we don't attend to them over and over. In fact, as I talk to people about their priorities, many will tell me that their marriage is a top priority. But if I look at how they spend their time and how they spend their energy, I notice that it doesn't even hit the top 10, that there are many other things that get their attention. Just today, I had somebody submit a question about how, looking back, they realized that they put everything in front of their marriage. They put their friends, they put their activities, they put their sports, they put their hobbies, they put their kids, they put their education, they put their job. Everything went in front of marriage. When that happens, you're strangling the connection that is the lifeblood of a relationship. That's the priority. Is the marriage relationship the priority of energy? It's not always about time, but of energy to make sure that the connection is continuing to grow. But many times we get stuck with not what's important, but what's urgent, what's calling at us, because we haven't clarified what's important. Priorities help us to establish what's important, not what's urgent. What's urgent is the thing that's calling your name right now and tells you it needs attention, whether it's true or not. It's calling for that attention now. It wants it now. What's important, though, can often be ignored because it's not crucial at that point. It's not acute. But it's not long-term. Long-term, when we ignore the important is put into peril. There's danger in the important because we keep doing the urgent things that are in front of us. The other day, we were walking around, and I was looking at the yard with my wife, and we were talking about the things that needed to be done. And, you know, the yard gets clipped, the grass gets cut, the trees get trimmed back. But then we looked at our house, and we realized that there are some things that really need to be done to our house that really are just kind of there waiting to be done. The yard yells at you now because the grass will keep growing and get higher and higher, but you know, you can put off the house maintenance. And I think that's kind of like this difference between urgent and important. Yes, you do have to cut the grass, but the house has to be taken care of. The maintenance of the house has to happen. And so it's not that sometimes the urgent doesn't need to be done. It's just that the important is what keeps everything together. I can have a beautiful manicured lawn with the most beautiful of flowers and garden, and my house be falling down and I've lost my household. So we find a balance point, but we make sure that we keep our eye on what's most important. What is the ultimately most important thing in your life? I would say for the happiness of the household and for the happiness of the couple, it's the connection between them, the relationship, and putting an emphasis there. But how often do people put hobbies and jobs and friends and interests and activities and education and most often children in front of the relationship? How many times do you watch people who are accenting, and maybe even you can see it in your own life, where you accent the hobbies that you want to be involved in, the activities that you want to be a part of, the interests that you have? I've watched people who've taken on hobbies one after another. And there's nothing wrong with having a hobby until it squeezes out the relationship. Or they just believe that if they could finally get to that one place in their job, the one job position, the one promotion, that point in their career, if they finally would get there, then they could turn their attention back to other things, only to find that when they got there, there was something else beyond that, and they would not yet turn their attention back to the important things. Or friends. Friends are often the beginning point of a relationship, of getting on to a bad track, because you still want to spend time with your friends, and sometimes it comes at the peril of the new relationship. Or how about those other interests? Maybe you want to volunteer somewhere and you don't recognize that there's only so much time in a day, and so you keep adding those on. How many people talk about having a golf widow or some other time-consuming activity that drains away from the possibilities and the time available to connect with a spouse? Or how many people keep going for education after education after education, letting everything fall to the side, including the primary relationship or the big one, children? So many people tell me that they know the most important thing in their household is them raising their kids, to which I'll say, it's the marriage. How the marriage goes is how the household will go. What they realize is that sometimes they spend so much time focusing on the kids and so little time focusing on themselves, on the relationship, on nurturing that, that they've lost the partnership together in raising those kids. In fact, more often than not, that's the one where I hear the "I thought we hit the pause button." And they tell me, "I thought once the kids were out of diapers, or when they were in school, or when they were in high school, or when they left for college, or when they were finally out of the house, we would get back on track," only to find that by the time they got back on track, there was no connection to get back on track, that they had already wasted the time, the connection, trying to raise their kids through that, and missed the fact that there is no pause in a marriage. Now, all of those things I named, hobbies, job, friends, interests, activities, education, parenting, are all crucial pieces of life. They have a place, but they have a place in the priority one step down from the connection in a couple. Remember that connection is not measured by time, but by energy. If the couple feels like they are constantly being shuffled to the back by those other pieces, the energy isn't being invested in the relationship. The energy is being siphoned off to other pieces, and it puts the relationship at risk. The relationship is left behind. The relationship is in the shadows, and we humans are built for that connection. And we do it best with one other person that is that most connected place. And so that's why the connection is such a vital part of a marriage. When that connection begins to be pulled away, it's like cutting off the oxygen supply in a creature. Pretty soon it's choked off and the capacity of life is gone. You can't pause life and you can't pause the connection. Yes, the commitment can carry many people through the bouts of time. Maybe, you know, when the child is just born and you find yourself up at opposite hours, or that job is requiring that big push to get through, or the educational process is culminating and you really have to push through, or maybe there's an event, a sporting event that's there that's going to take all the time. Then the commitment guides you through the places where you don't have time for the connection. But if the connection is never nurtured, if the connection is not the priority, the commitment after a while will begin to be doubted. And it seems that the connection, as it wanes, begins to make damage to both people. I've kind of noticed that there are kind of four stages to that process of the connection as it begins to go away. At the first stage, most of the time, the couple don't even notice what's going on. Because they never were aware of the priority, they don't notice that they haven't been prioritizing. They just assume it's going to take care of itself, and so they don't really notice. A lot of times they're busy with those other pieces that are calling their names and don't notice what's going on. And so at the first stage, it's just that the connection is choked off, but they don't even notice what's happening until the second stage. And then they begin to notice that their spouse is a little bit distant, maybe even angry, and they're feeling a little bit distant themselves. And at this point, it's not hard to turn around because that anger is really hurt. That anger is an awareness that something else is getting all of the attention that should be on the spouse. And so at the second stage, it's pretty easy to rectify. It's a time to reconnect, a time to recommit to the priorities and to come back around. But if the distance is not approached, and if the anger is not addressed as the hurt it is, then in the third stage, resentment begins to grow. And that resentment is when not only is there distance, but now there is such frustration that they push each other away and almost at times refuse to work on the connection. At this point, you're trying to win back that connection from a deficit. And it can be very difficult because if it goes to the next stage, the fourth stage is disdain, where the other person doesn't even like the spouse anymore. And it can be mutual at that point that they're so hurt by the lack of connection, it's been so choked off that at some point they've become guarded. And so instead of just simply being disconnected, the guard is up, the protection is up, and they push away when efforts are made to connect. That doesn't mean it can't be turned around, but it's harder at this point because disdain has such a pushback to it. The first, second, and third stages are much easier to deal with than the fourth stage. But the fourth stage can be healed when both people are willing to take some accountability and at least one person is willing to begin the process of reconnecting that. So what is the starting point? One of the starting points is to recognize there is no pause button. That wherever you are in that process, the first stage, second stage, third stage, or fourth stage, there is no pause, and the priority needs to be shifted, and the priority needs to be shifted as quickly as possible before the next stage comes in. A lot of times at that first stage, people don't even know that anything's happened, so they miss that. They pick it up when there's some distance and some anger. In fact, this is my favorite place to find people to intervene with in the second stage because it's the easiest to cure. It's the easiest to get back to because really it's a matter of reprioritizing and recommitting to the relationship and nurturing the relationship. At the third stage, we have to deal with that resentment and build past it. At the disdain stage, that fourth stage, we really have to do a lot of rebuilding. So where are you in that process? Are you in the first stage when it's just time to prioritize? Are you in the second stage when you have to really reprioritize and recommit? Or are you at the third stage when you have some hurt that you need to heal, even if that healing happens within you? Or are you at disdain, where you really have to work hard to stay on task? Because at that point, you're not feeling the nurture yourself. You're not feeling the connection yourself. And you might even have those elements within you. And you have to say, I'm setting that aside because of my commitment to work on this. There is no pause, but you can work to do a couple of things. One is to prioritize. Make sure you're clear with yourself that the number one priority is the relationship in the household. As that relationship is nurtured, everything else falls into place. The second piece is see the important Don't get caught up in the urgent. Yes, urgent things sometimes do need to be addressed, but sometimes the urgent things really have no importance to them whatsoever. So make sure that when the urgent comes, it's both urgent and important. The next piece is to decide to invest. Invest in the connection. Make sure that you invest in constantly nurturing that connection, taking accountability for the places where you fell short, the places where you need to go back and say, hey, I'm sorry, I missed that. I wasn't noticing the connection, and I apologize. This is not where you say to the other person, you need to apologize to me. You need to be rebuilding the connection with me. This is when you say, I choose to reprioritize and I choose to work on investing in the connection. And then the last part is to connect and stay committed. That commitment to the relationship can move people through the hurt because you honor the commitment you made. You may not feel like honoring it, but you make a conscious decision to honor it. That's the nature of commitment. As we honor commitment, it leads us back to connection. The two primary pieces of a marriage, commitment and connection. Those are the pieces we want to keep our eyes on. Those are the important parts, to nurture the connection, to honor the commitment, and to remember that there is no pause in a marriage. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.